All right, we are back live at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. Lots of great guests all week, including our next guest, who has spoken with us on the phone a few times. Nice to see him in person. The 41st mayor of the great city of Los Angeles, Antonio Villagrosa. Mr. Mayor, good to see you.
It's great to be with you and good to see you as well. So, been on the phone before.
But, yeah, but never face-to-face.
Never face-to-face.
I heard a rumor that you ran into some protesters outside. I hear it's gotten a little crazier than they thought.
Well,
earlier.
I didn't actually run into them. I had to pass through a group of protesters, as did everybody who's...
Were they peaceful?
Oh, yeah, they were very peaceful.
Okay, good.
They were also very passionate.
Yeah, they are.
And, you know, I understand some of their anger, frankly. They, you know, the Russians, cyber hackers, thieves, stole those emails and gave them to WikiLeaks and shared them with the world. And some of them, frankly, are unacceptable. They just are. But what I've said to them is that they have nothing to do with Hillary Clinton.
Right, exactly.
They have everything to do with some people who work at the DNC, and they should be, you know... held accountable for those mistakes. But at the end of the day, look, Bernie Sanders knows about those emails, will be speaking tonight, will share with us why he ran, what he stands for, but also, I hope, reaffirm that he's not only for Hillary Clinton because she won, but because she's the best person to lead our nation in these times. You know, Stephen, I chaired the Democratic Party convention in Charlotte.
Yeah.
I'm unabashedly a progressive. I've fought with and worked with Republicans and conservatives for 20 years. I'm Speaker of the Assembly, as council member and mayor. Donald Trump may be the Republican nominee, but he's not a Republican. And right. He's not a conservative.
Right.
He's a demagogue. He's willing to say anything and do anything to get elected. He's willing not just to put a wall between the United States and Mexico. He wants to put a wall around the nation and shut us off from the world. He wants to abandon our allies in Europe. He wants to close mosques and deny Muslims the right to answer Mother Liberty's call. Would divide and deport 11 million people. No country in the history of the world has ever deported 11 million people.
No, it's impossible. How's he going to do it?
It will cost hundreds of billions of dollars. It will create a police state. We'll have to go in to every neighborhood and pull people out, divide families, and, you know, engage in an initiative that this country has never, ever embarked on.
No, it's the opposite of what basically we stand for. Yeah.
So, you know, look, I'm speaking as a Democrat with a small d, as somebody who loves our country and our values and what's made us great. My grandpa came here 100 years ago, came here with a dream. He came here from a country of rich and poor. People are frustrated right now because it feels like we're back to a country like the one he came from Mexico,
right.
Just rich and poor. They're frustrated. But we can't bend to our greatest fears. We can't, you know, we could protest all we want, but at the end of the day, we need to come together as Americans. You know, as President Obama said, 8 years ago now, we're not a red country or a blue country. We're United States of America. We need to come together, and I'm hoping that we will, and that's why I'm here.
We just heard that inside the arena, some Bernie Sanders supporters are acting a little unruly already. That's the last thing the Democratic Party needs at this point.
Look, we've always been a little unruly. I'm okay with a little unruly.
But I think they're shouting down some of the speakers.
Well, you know, look, there are a lot of very angry people. I think we need to reach out to them. I think we need to allow them to vent and their frustrations. And then we need to have a conversation about the real challenges ahead, about the Trump candidacy which is a threat not just to progressives. It's a threat to the nation, to all of us. This man is fomenting fear and racial animus. This man is willing to say anything and do anything to get elected. And frankly, that's really the principal contradiction in our nation today and our biggest challenge. And then we all got to come together. Look, I'm hoping, you know, when the Republicans lose the third election in a row, they're going to realize what they started to talk about in their party. And then they got stopped by the Tea Party and the Trump candidacy.
Well, after 2012, they said, okay, we got to get this together. And it got much worse.
And then they won in 2014, and they drank the Kool-Aid and thought that the country's gone that far to the right. It hasn't.
Right.
Our country's still very much a country that's evenly divided. I'm a progressive. I was for single payer in 1994. I was for gay marriage in 1994. I'm the author of the anti-discrimination bill against gay and lesbians and LGBT community in 1998. The author of the toughest assault weapons ban. I am a progressive, but you know what? They got elected too. And if we want to just elect people that, you know, scream louder or maybe, you know, or are purer in their politics, well, then we're going to keep on having, you know, a nation that is divided, one that's not working together. We got to try to work with them. Yeah. You know, I've been doing this since I was 15. I started out in the labor movement. I was with the farm worker boycott. I'm unabashedly a progressive. I'm against the death penalty. Took on three strikes you're out while I was in office. But you know what? We got to work with them. We can't continue the politics of personal destruction where everybody's screaming at each other and people aren't working together. And I know that doesn't sound like something that everybody wants to hear right now. But you know what?
You're right.
What we have right now is not working for us.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, when I think back to 08, shortly after the election, Mitch McConnell said in front of everyone, our main agenda is to make sure Obama doesn't get a second term. I mean, that was like, what, a month into his, maybe less, into the Obama's first term. I mean, that was so blatant to me.
Well, that was blatant. Remember when the Congress member got up from South Carolina
during the State of the Union?
Said, you lie?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I worked against George W.'s candidacy twice. I worked every single day for both Gore and John Kerry during those campaigns. You know, I didn't support virtually most of the Bush agenda. But I always treated him with the respect that comes. He was the president of the United States.
There you go.
Whatever happened to that?
Right.
This notion that when you elect somebody, you know, did I think they stole the election in 2000? Yeah, I did. But when he won and, you know, the Supreme Court affirmed it, no one had to get behind him. You know, he talked about being a compassionate conservative, and it sounded a little different. I wanted to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, this politics that just wants to indict everyone,
spends
millions on hearing after hearing that gets nowhere and divulges nothing. I call it the politics of personal destruction on both sides, but particularly on their side. It's just not working for us, everybody. You got to hear that. It's not working. You know, I started out in the 1960s, 15 years old in the civil rights movement. You know, I understand, you know, the politics of opposition and protest. But at some point, my mother said to me, people want to know what you're for. They want to see you build something. We got to work with people that don't agree with us. Otherwise, we're going to continue this politics that gets us nowhere.
And it's been that way certainly for 8 years.
And makes us angrier and angrier and angrier.
Yeah, look at the confidence level in Congress.
For all of us.
For the American people, the way they look at Congress. Okay. And they talk about the do-nothing Congress.
Well, I thought I worked hard for the people of L.A., and I left with a 58% approval rating, which means that 42% thought it was time for me to go. So, you know, all of us have to do a better job and, you know, work harder and try to bring us together. And, you know, that's my hope, and that's what I've tried to be all my life.
former mayor of L.A., Antonio Villagrosa. I'm going to ask you this. You obviously don't have to answer, but any thoughts on running for governor?
Well, look, I will answer. And let me just say, it's Villa, like Villa, Villa Airmail, Rye Bread Gosa. So it's Villa Rye Gosa.
Yeah, I've screwed that up for years.
Okay. Villa Rye Gosa. Just remember, V for victory. How about that?
There you go.
But, you know, look, I'll be really candid with you. I'll make an announcement in November.
Okay.
And I think most people know what that announcement will be. I'm not making it today in July, but I will make it in November. I've been on a 42-day listening tour. I've been up and down the state from Sonoma to San Diego, from San Bernardino to Santa Maria. I've talked to and heard from Democrats and Republicans, farmers and farm workers, people that work with their hands and people who work with their head. And I'll tell you something. I understand the frustration that people feel right now. They're looking for a uniter. I think they're looking for somebody who's willing to roll up their sleeves and get things done. They want us to focus on the economy that's not working for them. And they want us to fight for them every single day. So, you know, I'll make that announcement in November. But you see the smile on my face, and I think you could hear the energy in my voice.
Yes,
and,
I know, can.
When I left the mayor's job, I said, I'm riding into the sunset. And then I smiled at the press, and I said, but I will be back.
Yeah.
So count on it.
Are you a superdelegate?
No, I'm just a delegate, and honored to be so. I got a little small speaking role on Thursday, and honored to speak because I'm not in office anymore, and who would have thought that somebody would have remembered that I was still around?
It's always great to talk to you, and it was wonderful to see you face-to-face here. Thank you so much, Antonio.
Good to see you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Very cool. We'll be back on The Drive.